Okay. Last time we discussed the Isser of Nezigas HaKos, I noted that there are multiple layers of Machloksim among Rishonim and Poskim as far as the scope of the Isser. So just to recap what the bottom line is, Lamaisa, and then tie up a few loose ends. So Lamaisa, we assume, like the Chumrah that the Shach quotes, which is against Rav Rishonim, that the Isser of Nezigas HaKos applies to other drinks, not only to wine, number one. Generally, we assume it doesn't apply to water, say for matter notwithstanding, but we assume it doesn't apply to other drinks other than wine. Also, we're machmir to assume that the Isser of Mezigas HaKos applies even if the Hoshata is Befanov and the Mezigas Shalav Befanov, which is not like the Ghost Maimonides and the Mechaber, not like the Ramaz Befanov that presumably modifies both the Mezigah and the Hoshata, but that's also Chumrah that you have in the Shach, that we noted. The later Achorim are bothered by what seems to be a steer in shocks, but either way, at least Bataras Chumra, it sounds like that's the bottom line, that we're Machmir, even if the Meziga is Shalom Befanav, but Hoshata is Befanav, that would be a problem unless you do a Shinoi in the Hoshata. And we're Machmir that the Isser of Meziga doesn't only apply to diluting wine in the classic sense, and doesn't only apply to mixing a drink that needs to be mixed, like coffee with other ingredients in coffee, but even it applies to pouring. And therefore, even though these are all three nekudas that are subject to machlokas, and it could be all of these, the Rov Rishonim are mako in a vacuum. But lalacha, we accept, at least as a point, a frame of reference, l'chachila, these three chumras. So then it would be usur, presumably, to, let's say, pour a cup of orange juice in the kitchen for your wife and then place it in front of her without a shinoi. Even though it's not wine, you're not doing any mixing, you're just doing pouring, and the mezigah shalav b'fanav, but to do all of that and then just do the hashat or placing down b'faneha without a shinoi, that would be problematic. Now, we did note last time, machlokas in the contemporary poskim, is it sufficient to make a shalav b'fanav for your wife to turn around, to close her eyes, or to look the other way? So we saw that Rav Osner was machmer in that, by the Shulchan was mekel, and Sugav HaShoshanim left that as a tzarachian. Asked Rabbi Willig what he thought, he wasn't sure. But that may also be another. Anyway, if you're talking about situations where we're piling up a few chumras, then maybe that's not an unreasonable kula to join with it. If at least if there's a tzarach, if you're unable to do another classic shinoi. Now, Rabbi Karp does think in the Mishmeres HaTaharos Sifkata and Kuf Hei, that in principle, he thinks that you could be makel about pouring shar mashkim, because according to Rov Poskim or Rov Rishonim, shar mashkim would be mutter anyway. So he says there's what to be makel about if there's a tzorech to pour shar mashkim, even if you're going to do the hashata b'faneha, but still hamach mir tov ala bracha. But I was wondering, what about a ha'arama in these kinds of situations? So let's say you have a need to give your wife a glass of orange juice. Your wife is getting ready to go to sleep, doesn't want to go downstairs to pour something herself. So it'd be a nice thing to do to get her a glass of juice if she wants it. So could you do the following? So assuming you're not going to, let's say you wouldn't be makel about turning around or closing the eyes, and you're not going to do a shinoi of putting it down somewhere at a distance, both of which could reasonably be done. Or let's say you're in a situation where there are other people around, and then it's not as comfortable to close your eyes, look the other way, or put it down at a distance. So would it be mutter to pour the glass of juice and then take a sip of it and give it to her? So by taking a sip of it, you made into shiurei mashka. So shiurei mashka, that's mutter for the drink. So is that analogous to when you drink from the kiddush wine and then you put it down and then she takes it? So we're makel, that's not considered, even though you have in mind that she's going to drink the wine, but technically speaking, once you drank it, that's shirei mashka. So would that be an acceptable haram in this situation to take a drink, even on one level, maybe you're not really saving on the kiradas element because you're not minimizing the kiradas in that case by taking a sip yourself if your intention is to give it to her. Or bottom line, you've technically affected making it into shirei mashka. So I'm not sure. I asked Rabbi Willig what he thought about that. He also wasn't sure, but he said, you know, maybe the difference between that and the Kiddush cup is that you have to drink the Kiddush wine anyway you slice it. So step one, you make Kiddush, you have to drink the wine. Now you put it down. She wants to take it, she'll take it. If she doesn't want to take it, she doesn't want to need to take it. But even if she wanted to take it, you have to drink the wine for Kiddush anyway. So it's not like you're doing anything differently than you would have to do Manushach. Here, if you're intentionally drinking it just to technically make a shirei mashka in order to then give it to her, avoid the problem with Ziga Noshata, unclear. Or would you say that anyway, we're already piling up Chumras? So the fact that we're Machmir on Shar Mashkin, the fact that we're Machmir on Mizika Shalom Afinel, the fact that we're Machmir on pouring, those are already three Chumras. So all that Mikra did is probably Mutter. So then maybe that's not the end of the world to do this kind of a haram. And if you're going to turn the other way, so then even better. Not sure. Yeah.
One question right there, one question separately.
Yeah.
Would that be considered a shinoi in itself or not?
That wouldn't be a shinoi. That's now you made it to shirei mashka. Technically speaking, it works, meaning now it's shirei mashka, but is that the right thing to do?
If you're machmir on the hoshata, even with that besiegus, how does it get around the hoshata issue? But kiddush, you're not.
It gets around the hoshata. No, so Hoshat in the Meziga context means to place it down in front of her.
You're still doing it, right?
But there's no Isser of Hoshat. There's no Isser of Hoshat of Shirei Mashka, meaning once it's now defined as your drink. There's no Isser Hoshat is connected to Meziga for her. But if you now drank it yourself, that kind of was masik that chain. So that now we define this as Shirei Mashka, and now it's a new cheshbon.
What's she moving in generally do for my son?
So we saw in the Gemara there are two classes of Shinoi. There's small as opposed to Yamin. And there is putting it in a different place than the norm, on the pillow, on the safsal. So most poskim assume, I think we quoted it last time, the shame of Rav Yashiv thought you shouldn't rely, the Piskei Das poskim Rav Yashiv, that you shouldn't rely on using Yad Smol nowadays. The Aruch HaShulchan thinks Yad Smol means that you're actually handing it from the right hand to the left hand and then putting it down. But the pashas is that you're just placing with your left hand mitzvah v'atzov. So Rav Yashiv thought, apparently, that you can't rely on that nowadays, because nowadays no one's really cheshbening what hand you use. It's not a sufficient of shina because it's not on people's radar screen to notice a difference between if you put it with the right hand or the left hand. Rabbi Carthaway presents this as a legitimate shina yhalach l'maisa, which I think most of the poskim do say. Or the more the kuli alma shina, we'd be putting it at a distance from the norm. So post and discuss how much of a distance would it need to be. It would have to be recognizable that you're not putting it directly in front of him or her. So it'd be at a distance that you'd have to reach out to get it. So that would be the other standard shina.
Given all how we seem to pass every passing with all these numbers, what leeway, like in what situations do we have here to make that?
So even with all of this, so you could be makel with any of these shinuyim.
So the most basic shinuyim would be fine. Like, you close your eyes, you could put a shin right.
So that was says machlokas apostle whether closing eyes is sufficient, but putting it at a distance would definitely be sufficient.
But I'm saying when those posts are contemplated being machlokas for that shinuyim. Is that under the pretense that we're being machmer for all of these, like Shar Mashkin and pouring, even given all these three chumras we're picking up from Lisa, they would still be machmir for closing their eyes?
Yeah, that's a discussion. The discussion is all of Hamaisa, one of the contemporary posts, was closing eyes sufficient to make it shalom for now.
Is seltzer and gluten shared machmir or not?
Haven't seen that discussed. Maybe it could be the chalik between flavored seltzer and plain seltzer. it's hard to find flavored seltzer for Pesach. I was just shopping last week, the Hamish brands have flavored seltzer kosher for Pesach, but the other brands just look like plain. Whatever. I don't know. Look, as it is to be Machmir Shar Mashkin, Bechlal is a chomer. It's chomer that the Shach accepts, so we accept it. But as we said, Rabbi Karp thinks that there's more grounds to be makel for pouring in that situation. So maybe that's better than juice or soda. Don't know.
Rabbi Karp thought that pouring Shar
Mashkin
was more
to Yudashim. Nikar did. He says a Machmir Tavol Abracha. But since pouring anyway is a chumra and sharmash is a chumra, so he thinks maker it in, put those two chumras together is not necessary. Halacha lemaisa, says the makra tavla bracha. Yeah.
So just to clarify, when we say sharmash, we're including that it includes water?
No, sharmash, water is a different kind. Water is mutter lukulia in practice. Okay. So all that is about meziga and hashata for mashka. What about for food? So we saw last time that the Shach also Sipkat and Gimel quotes from the Marashmi Ostreich, that he was machmir that the Isser of Niziga / Hoshat applies to foods also. So it would be usher to prepare a plate of food and then place it in front of your wife or husband. And then he quotes from the Bach, the Slomer, and he quotes it from Bach also from the Sefer Truma. And we'll see the Sefer Truma in a second. And the Piskei Shuvah, Sivkat and Yud Gimel, quotes the Chuvas Ber Shava. That quotes this as well for the Marshal. Chuvas Ber Shava, the Simon Samaches. So he quotes the Marshal, who quotes from a Kabbalah B'Shem Rebbeinu Shalom. I don't know if that's the Marashmi Yostreich. Don't know who the Marashmi Yostreich was. But apparently in the site it says there's a Sefer Hilchos Simin Hage Marash Simin Shin Yuches. So you can probably find them in 30 seconds, but I didn't look. So the Marshal quotes in this Rabbeinu Shalom, who adin lo tavi akara emamachal al shulchan b'fanav, that a wife shouldn't plate her husband's food and put in front of him on the table. So what is the Sefer Truma that is the source for this chumra that the Bach has and the Shach quotes? So Rabbi Karp points out and others that if you look in the Sefer Truma, it doesn't really sound like akadekach. The Sefer Truma in Simen Peites is talking about Hoshata Mamish, talking about handing it to your husband. That for those who were makel on Hoshata, for those that didn't have the Yisra of Hoshata based Midrash Sharashi, that the only Yisra Hoshata maker did is Mesiga Sakos and Hoshata Skos Yayin, so then the Sefer Truma, Simen Peites, extends that to Machal as well. He says, "Hamachmir lizar milahoshet la shem davar miyado liyada kavala bracha." That's literally miyado liyada, so that's real hoshata. But that's what Rabbi Karp points out, and others. The Sefer Tuba doesn't sound like what they're quoting Bishmo. The Marashmi Yostrei had this minag, or he quotes to be machmir on food, but to attribute it to the Sefer Truma, that sounds difficult because the Sefer Truma is not talking about placing. The Sefer Truma was talking about Hoshata Mamish. So the Taz, Sifkat and Gimel, is Nekel Mikol Lakol. He says, no, there's no, he quotes this Marashma Yostreich. He says, there's no Kiruv Das when it comes to putting food in front. That's Maisa Abdus, Sheesh Batorah, Mashenke Mizigo Sakos. Mizigo Sakos is an act of Chiba, an act that could lead to intimacy. But putting down the food on the plate, that's an act of avdus. That's not an act that's going to lead to any kiruv das. So the Taz is mekel mikol bachol. There's no parallel isser of nizigas hakos and hashata when it comes to machal. Aruch HaShulchan is Mekel as well, Sivkata and Yud Gimel. But the Chachmas Adam is Machmir. The Shach is Machmir. And that's the common practice to be Machmir, all things being equal, unless there's a Sorech to be Mekel. Meaning with the acknowledgement that this isn't a Maker Adin, this is a Minug. So the baseline is to be Machmir, but there could be latitude in a Sorech situation to be Mekel. So say, for example, Rav Avner, Rabbi Ida, Rishem Ramosha, Badi Yishochan, that the baseline is that we're machmir on this, like the Taz, like the Shach against the Taz. Rabbi Karp, in the Mishmar Satara, quotes from Rav Yashiv, that Rav Yashiv thought, Midina, the Ikra Din, we could be Mekel. But Lemaisa, we're machmir. And Lemaisa, we're machmir even if the hachana is shalob de fanav, meaning for the wife to prepare the food on a plate in the kitchen and then bring it to the table. That sounds like what he's quoting from Rav Yashiv there. But Rabbi Karp says, and I didn't see this anywhere else, that he says this himself, and then he says he heard this from Rav Yashiv, that as far as the isser of extending food and serving food, one should distinguish between chasha foods and non-chasha foods. So the way he frames it is a chasha food like basar v'dagim would be aser. But a non-chasha food like bread and cheese and fruit, that's more analogous to mayim. So just like we're mekel on mizigo shata of kos mayim, then you could be mekel on extending, preparing, and plating, and extending food of the bread, cheese, fruit variety. It doesn't explain where you draw the line or how we know what's considered chashuv and what's the determining factor in those considerations. But he says that even though yesh lahachmir lechachila, but he doesn't think that there's a need to be machmir even lechachila when it comes to what he terms less chashuv foods. Now, Rav Avner points out that even if you're going to be Mako, but he still thinks, even if you'll be Mako on preparing and bringing a plate to the table, but if you're doing everything the fun of, meaning you take something from the serving tray and put it on your husband's plate, then that would definitely be aser. Now, Rabbi Willie thinks, if I recall correctly, that when it comes to food, without any distinction between the Rabbi Karp's distinction of chashuv foods and non-chashuv foods, when it comes to food, that you could be mekel if you do the preparation shalo b'fanav to serve the food b'fanav, meaning to prepare the plate in the kitchen and then put it in front of your husband or wife. So that would be mutter. Because anyway, even when it comes to hoshata of mashke, if you do the mezigah shalo b'fanav, that's only a chumra of the shach, the ikra din would give you mekel. And applying any of this to food is also a chumra. So he thinks you have to be machmir if you're going to do everything b'fanav. But to do the preparation shalom b'fanav and just place the plate b'fanav would be mutter. Rabbi Karp, again, when it comes to non-kosher foods, he definitely may go. And the formulation is slightly different in different places here, but he may be no to lahakel. There may still be a tabel abracha, but it sounds like short of that, he may be no to lakel in this case also, even by a chashuv food, if you're not preparing it b'fanav. But most poskim assume, the contemporary svarim assume that you should be machmir lechachila even on that, even if you prepare the food in the kitchen that not to put in front. But again, it sounds like here there's even more mekel, room to be mekel on closing eyes turned the other way, or to be mekel on shinuyim, even if even if you would be machmir on shina biatzmo. Otherwise, like Rav Yashiv, it sounds like maybe there's more reason to be mekel here, because anyway, this is another level of chumrah to apply this to machalim the flower. Okay. So then, Sif Yud Gimel, just jumping around a little bit, we'll go back. The Mechaber writes, Kishem Shasura Limzog Lo, Kachu Asur Limzog Lo. So we noted that last time. Lo Od, El Afilu Lishloach Kos Shel Yayin Asur. So aside from the Isser of Mizigasakos and Toshata, there's an Isser of Shigarakos, meaning you can't send a cup of wine to your wife through a middleman. Lo Shakos Shabracha, Lo Shakos Acher. Avalim shows him hey, they also cause the shasis e abasrayu less lan ba. So aside from ziga sakos and ashata sakos, is an issur of shiger kos. You can't send a cup of wine to your wife, even if you're sending with someone else as an intermediary. This is based on a ravid, based on a shilta, which is based on a maseches kala. What does maseches kala say? So this is maseches kala perik alpha lachahe. Hamishagir kos shel bracha liisha shelo midas bai. Let's just talk about a third party. Third party is sending a kos shel bracha to a married woman without her husband's authorization. Chayamisa. Pretty severe. Vimnesha daita rabbalas. That's not appropriate for someone other than this woman's husband to be sending her a kos shel bracha. Rabbi Omer Vimnesha yetzer hara rabbalas. Okay, b'chein b'nei chabura sheshagru kov shel bracha liisha shalom idas b'ayla chayav misa b'nei shedatan rabba leha and Rabbi Omer b'nei sheyitzran rabba leha. So the Maseches Kala is talking about someone other than this person's husband sending a kov shel bracha, but the Shiltos extends this to, or the Ravid based on the Shiltos extends this to Ishto Nida as well, that there be an Isser of Shigur Kos, the Ishto Nida, even if it is a Kos Shel Bracha. So this is relevant, or most relevant, in the context of Kiddush. So we discussed previously the element of Shiurei Mashke for Kiddush, that there's no Isser of a wife to drink the Shiurei Mashke of her husband if a husband already took a drink from the Kiddush cup. But what about the Isser of Shigur HaKos? Could a husband pour from the Kiddush cup into another cup and then send that cup to his wife? So the Piskei Das points out that the Lashon L'Ravid, which is the source for this halacha, the Ravid says that the Isser is if you're miyached a cup for her. And that's the Lashon L'Mechaber. So based on that, many poskim are mekel that you could do the following. If there are multiple people seated at the table, so you could pour multiple cups from your Kiddush cup without identifying any one of those specific cups to be for your wife. And then the cups can be distributed to all the people seated at the table. That would be considered to be shigur kos. That's not kos hamiyuchadla. So says Rabbi Eider. So says Rabbi Forst. So says Rabbi Morgenstern. So says Rabbi Willig. Rabbi Shulchan's might machmer on this on page Reish Pei Beis. But again, the simplest etza for, first of all, no chiyuv for other people at the table to drink from the kiddush wine b'chlal. Maybe it's a nice thing to do, but it's not necessary medina. But if the simplest way of having your wife drink from the kiddush wine is what we discussed previously, to put it down, and she wants to take it, she can then take it. If you're not extending it to her or giving it to her, put it down where you normally put it down, and then there's no problem of shiur kos, and there's no problem of shigur kos either. Now, the Baal Shulchan points out in Sivkat and Kuf Samach Dalid that this din of Shigur HaKos only applies to Kos, even those that are Machmir when it comes to Mizdiga, to extend that to Machal. No one says such a thing when it comes to Shigur HaKos. And therefore, there's no Isser, even if you're going to be Machmir Macholim, so there's no Isser to plate something for your wife and give it to someone else to put in front of your wife.
Mm-hmm. Does it apply to any type, any cup, like any drink in the cup?
You mean aside from wine?
Yeah.
That seems to be a discussion. Rabbi Karp assumes that even though the mashmos is that only applies to wine, but it may apply to other mashkim chashuvim. So if we assume that mashkim chashuvim is digas hakos, extends to other beverages as well, so it may extend to Shigur Kos also. So if we're Machmir, when it comes to Mizdiga, anything other than water, so that may apply here also. That's what Baal Shulchan says as well, that he quotes it from the Tzemach Tzedek, that applies to anything other than water. Okay. So let's move on, or move backwards actually in the Siman, but move on to talk about our chakos of beds. So as we referenced previously a number of occasions, the Gemara on Daf Yud-Gimel and Aleph and Shabbos has the Shaila as to whether it's mutter for husband and wife to sleep the mita achas hu bibigdo vehi bibigda, and the Gemara is machmir that is indeed usher. The Ravid in the end of Shara Prisha, which is quoted by the Rashba and Torah Sabai, is quoted by the Rash, Perek Yud, Simon Beis. The Ravid writes, usher lishan al mitasa shel nida, you're not allowed to sleep on the bed of a nida, afilu b'shah she'ena b'mita, even if she's not in her own bed, mishum herka. So the Gemara was talking about sleeping in the same bed at the same time. That's aser. The Ravid says, not only is it aser to sleep in the same bed at the same time, it's aser to sleep on her bed, even if she's not there, mishum hergel. So that's the Ravid, that's the Rashba, that's the Rush, it's the Ramban, in a Periches Halacha Zayin, Periches Halacha Zayin as well. The Ramban's Lashon is Hergel Aveira. The Rashba adds another layer here, that the Rashba formulates this as the Isser being a Kal Chomer from Hatzah Samita. So just as the Gemara in Ksubis Sifyud, that a wife is not allowed to make her husband's bed. So Kol Shekin says to Rashba, you can't sleep in the other's bed. That was his quote in Shulchan Aruch. Says the Mechaber, Sifhei, lo yeshev b'mitam yichadis la filo shol b'fanach. So the Mechaber echoing the Torah doesn't just say Lo Yishan. He says Lo Yeshiv. But not only is it usher for both of them to sleep in the same bed, who be begged up. Not only is it usher, as per the Ravid, to sleep on her bed even if she's not there. It's even usher to sit on her bed if she's not there. Even though the Lashon of the Ravid, Lashon of the Rashba was sleeping, the Mechaber following the Torah says even sitting. Look in the Taz, Sifkat and Vav. Lo yeshiv b'mita, mashma afilu yeshiva ba'alma b'lo shiva. So that's what it says. You can't sit down in her bed, even if you're not lying down. Yeshiva nami, you can hear her. Hear her is not limited to sleeping. Hear her could be relevant even if you're sitting on her bed. When you decide to hear her, yavali de her galadera, ka kasa beis yosef. So the girsa that we don't have in the Torah, there was such a girsa, says the Taz, that had lo yishkav instead of lo yeshev. After all, it's just a letter off. Lo yishkav, lo yeshev is an extra cuff. So you could see how such a toast may have crept in if it was a toast. Mori chamizal kasu de tosel for begirsa shel lo yeshev. And that's what Bach Taka said, that it's a mistake in the Torah. And it really should have been lo yishkav, not lo yeshev. And the Taz isn't convinced. However, the Taz says one can distinguish between mita shelo and mita shelo, that the iser of yeshiva, that only applies for a husband to sit on his wife's bed, for a wife to sit on her husband's bed. That's less margalalei, less hergal davar concerned, and therefore that, for sitting, not for sleeping, would be mutter. But for a husband to sit on his wife's bed, so that's also even shalom b'faneha, as per the Lashon HaMechaber Lefanenu. Then the Mechaber writes in Sifav, Lo yishan ima b'mita afilu kol echa b'bigdo ein nogin zebazes, that's the Gemara Shabbos Daf Yud Gimel, and Zeramah, afilu yesha kol echa matz b'zayatmo, even if they have their own mattress on the same frame, that's usher. And even if they're on two separate beds, that the beds are touching, that is usher as well. Mordechai b'shem Maharam. Badi Yisholch and Sifkat and Kuftes, and the Darkei Tshuva has this, quotes b'shem the Ari. The first he says, what does it mean the bed can't touch? Sarakliyos hefsek kol shehu bein hamitos. There has to be a hefsek kol shehu. So says Piskei Tshuva, Sifkat and Yud Aleph. From the Mekor Chaim, Nikol Malkam Olam Nogim Kestim Aslashim Rama, the Kuleyama Shenogim Zebeza Aser, Ava Behefrish Kol Shehu Bemita Lemita Mutter. That as long as they're not touching, even if it's Hefrish Kol Dehu, it's Mutter. However, it says about the Yerushalchan, that if the beds are next to each other, they have to be separated to the point that there's no chashash that you're going to lean over and touch your spouse in the middle of the night. with the Sefer Kava Yashar, maybe Midivri Arizal, Shetzrichim Sheilizar, Sheubez Amitas Rechoko Zumizu, Beofen Shelo Yiga Belaila Hakara Elyon Shebekasabo, the Mitas Ishta Vachem Lehab. What's the Shir? The quotes B'Shem the Ari, that it has to be far enough, the best has to be far enough from each other, that the blankets are not going to touch. So that's more than a kolshu. You have to make sure that the blankets don't touch. Rabbi Willer thinks that is appropriate lahalacha, that the distance should be so the blankets don't touch. In the Sefer Omani Choma, Mordechai Gross from Bezin Chanichi Yeshivas and Bnei Brak, Chelik Beis Simon Reish Kaf, he quotes, and so Rabbi Forrest quotes this also, he quotes from a Takanas Gedola Yisrael in Lemberg in 1938. Tafresh Pechas, Rabbi Forrest says it was 1937, this is probably the end of the year, the end of the secular year, that there is a Takana of the Rabbanim that got together in Lemberg, that you need Richuk Amma, that the beds have to be separated by an Amma. So I don't know if it was a Chazanish Amma or Chaim Na Amma, but somewhere between 1.5 and 2 feet, or Moshe Amma. So this is before the Chazanish, before Moshe, before Chaim Na. A Takana Skadola Yisrael in Lemberg in 1937, 1938. So maybe Google, see what the Rabbinic Conference in Lemberg, what else they discussed. Okay. Now Rabbi Eider points out, yeah.
This only when they're sleeping on the beds, or they're, even when they're not home, the beds needs to be, they can't be done.
Good. So Rabbi Eider quotes this B'Shem, Rabbi Eider has this, the Rav Vosner has this, B'Shem L'Chazon Ish, that the Isser of Beth touching is only when someone's sleeping there. Rabbi Eider points out, it doesn't mean sleeping, it means there. Meaning if someone's sitting on the bed, so also you have to have this harchaka. But if no one's there, then there's no concern.
There, meaning what's in the bed, or in the room?
In the bed. I mean, if they're in the room, but they're not in the bed, that's fine. If they're in the bed, even if they're sitting and sleeping, then you need this harchak. Now, I guess you could take a tamer as an experiment, but I think that the distance to ensure that blankets don't touch is probably not much less than an amma anyway. Definitely not a climb the amma. No, probably need a good 1.5 to 2 feet to make sure blankets don't touch. So it may not be that much of a difference anyway. Yeah.
Rabbi and Rabbi are saying that any separation is needed only if they're there, or this specific method, they're not going to touch each other.
Right, the beds could touch. If they're in the room, but they're not on the beds, the beds could touch. Okay, now Rabbi Morgenstern quotes the following, Perek Tes, footnote 29, that there was a couple that had an arrangement where they didn't have designated beds, that sometimes the wife slept in one bed, sometimes the wife slept in another bed. They asked Rabbi Yashiv, what's the din there of Mita Hamyuched Asla? So Rabbi Yashiv said, in principle, in that situation, there's no Mita Hamyuched Asla, and therefore Sifhei wouldn't apply. But Rabbi Yashiv said that's not an appropriate arrangement, because the tzura of a Jewish home is that there are Mitas Hamyuched Asla, as we see from Yaakov Avinu, that everyone had their separate bed, separate Mita, separate places to sleep, that were designated as such. So the tzura of a Jewish home is that husband should have his bed and wife should have her bed. Now, the Sugah B'Shoshanim discusses Sif Kafav, what happens, or how are you mevatel the yichud of a bed? Meaning, can you decide at one point that you want to switch beds, and the husband's wife becomes the wife's bed, and the wife's bed becomes the husband's bed? So he raises the question, do you need a maisa to do that? So presumably, the way he presents it is that bimeini dusa, you can't do that. You can't just decide bimeini dusa that you're going to switch beds. But bimei tarasa, you can. So presumably, if they just start sleeping in the other bed, they switch beds, so then you've removed the shame, mitam yichedes la, from that bed and made it your bed. He's nistapik, do you need a maisa to do that? So what he means is, let's say you make a declaration in the morning that you're switching beds permanently, and then she's pure sanida before you go to sleep that night. So would that declaration work without a maisa? Okay. Piskei Tshuva in Sifkat and Ches writes, according to Chachmas Adam, that this din of Mita Miyachedes also applies to Karim Hamyuchadim La. And you can use the pillows that are Miyuchad La. And maybe the sheets as well. So the contemporary Sfarim point out that this presumably is talking about where the sheets or blankets are identifiable as belonging to a husband or wife. But if you have a set of matching linens and the blankets and the pillows and the pillowcases and the sheets all look the same, and you couldn't tell the difference by looking at them, whose is who, they're exactly the same. So presumably this is or wouldn't apply, because there's nothing to identify one sheet as belonging to the wife as opposed to the husband.
Well, if they have matching linens, like different pillows, so they have.
So then that would be miyuchad la. Yeah. But whatever is matching, there's no peida, you couldn't tell the difference, so then presumably this chumrah of the Chachmas Adam wouldn't apply to that scenario. Then take a look at Piskei Tshuva of Katan Tes, Shelo b'faneha, v'nira pashut, im eina ba'ir klal mutter. If she's not in the city at all, mutter. So what is this talking about? So the context that this sifkat is going on in Mechaber is lo yeshe b'mita b'chadasla. So all you see for sure from the Piskei Tshuva is that the isser of sitting, which anyway we said was of questionable origin, because in the source of Rishonim it only says no more than laying down. So as far as the isser of sitting, which anyway sounds like a later chumrah, so that only applies if she's by ear, but if she's out of town, it would be mutter. That's what the Sugaba Shoshanim points out, Perek Yud Gimel, Sif Dalid, that the Piskei Tshuva was only going on yeshiva. And that's what he quotes from the Marsham, but he acknowledges that many poskim are makel even on shkiva. Meaning, if the woman's out of town, there's no concern of hergel davar even to lay down in her bed. So if she's out of town for some period of time, it would be mutter to lay down on her bed, to sleep on her bed as well. Piskei Das, footnote 31, Shevet Alevi. The quotes of Shevet Alevi that dafka, if she's traveling out of town, mamish, at a distance. He quotes from Rav Yashiv that even if she's traveling from Yerushalayim to Bnei Brak, but not from Bnei Brak to Ramat Gan. Although these days with all the protests, it probably takes longer to get from Bnei Brak to Ramat Gan than from Bnei Brak to Yerushalayim. Piskei Das also raises the following. How do we define mita miyachadus la, mita miyachadus la, when you're away? So if you have a place that you travel to on a regular basis, and let's say you go to your parents or in-laws on a somewhat regular basis, So then, presumably, whatever bed you would typically sleep on there would be considered the bed Hamiyuchala, 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 Hamiyuchala. As if you're going somewhere you've never been before, so you decide who's sleeping in which bed. But if there's a place you have some akvias that you go there on a some regular basis, so presumably there's a default what's considered to be miyuchalo, miyuchala. Where do you draw the line? So he quotes from Rav Eliashiv that if you travel there once a month or less, once a month or more frequently, then that's considered that you have akvias that you would consider the best to have a status of miyuchadim. If it's more than that, so then there's no kviyas. So if you go visit your parents or in-laws twice a year, so then there wouldn't be any kviyas as far as mita miyuchadis. Okay. The Mordechai. And let's move on now to Safsal HaMitznadei. Mordechai Shabbos, Simon Reish Lamechas. Quotes from the Ravan, B'shem Rashi. Asur Leishev Al Kisei Aruch, Asher Ishto Nida Yosheva Salav. You're not allowed to sit on a long chair that Ishto Nida Yosheva Salav. For that formulation, Asur Leishev Al Kisei Aruch, Asher Ishto Nida Yosheva Salav, sounds like the problem is that you're sitting on the same chair. Nothing to do with being miyukala. You can't sit on the same chair, even if it's a kisei aruch, even though presumably it's long enough that you're not sitting on top of her. There's no fashash negia, but still asur leishev al kisei aruch asher ishto nida yosheves alav. The lashon, that's how the Mordechai quotes the Ravan. The Ravan that we have, Simon Shin Lamed Hey, says lo yeshev b'moshava, that you shouldn't sit on her chair, on her seat. So Rabbi Eider points out, maybe that different formulation of lo yeshev b'moshava, that's more in line with the Ramban in Parshas Vayetze, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Hey, when the Ramban writes, discussing the status of a nida b'mei ha'avos, and in the society of us, independent of Torah society, v'anochem be'enai, writes Ramban, keyu anidos b'mei ha'kamonim ruchakos ma'od, that nidos in early times were distanced from society, ki kein shman me'olam nidos l'richukan, ki lo yiskarvu al adam lo yidabru bo, no one would get near them, no one would talk to them, even her Dibur is Tameh. And Rabbi Yochanan, Asila Adam Lahalich Achra Nida. You can't walk behind the Nida. Lidros Es Afara. You can't walk on the dust that she stood on. Shoot Tameh Kemes. Kach Afra Shal Nida Tameh. The Asili Hanos Bimaisa Yadeha. So even in a pre Torah society, there's a certain perspective that whatever a Nida touches or comes in contact with is defiled. And therefore, people, Biyamin, Kanmonim, would stay away from anything that Anida came in contact with. So says Rabbi Eider, maybe this formulation in the Ravan of Moshava is kind of along those lines. Not that there's a Kirov Das element per se, not that there's a Chashash Negia, but simply sitting on her chair, even if she's not sitting there herself, has some resonance of this early status of Nida. And he quotes Rabbi Eider, quotes in the Rikanti, Tov hu li zahir afilu bizman hazeh mimishkava u'moshava shel Nida. So you should be careful even nowadays from the mishkav and moshav Nida, those are Tumah terms, kidei shelo tishtakach toras tarim Yisrael. So you shouldn't forget that even though the real halacha l'maisa application of nida now is simply heter l'baila, but you shouldn't forget that there's also a tumah v'tahara component. So you should be nisar about certain elements of tumah v'tahara of tumas mishka v'moshe. And Rabbi Carr points out that you have these trends in other Rishonim also, the kind of an overlap with Taros as far as some of these Harchakos. So he points out, first of all, Beis Yosef himself, this doesn't make into Shulchan Aruch, but Beis Yosef has the suggestion of having to rinse out a cup between wife drinking and husband drinking in the Shirei Machal context, Shirei Mashka context. So the Beis Yosef quotes that as a min kasher. So maybe that is resonance of the Tuma element. And he quotes from the Sefer Ora, Beis Midrash Sharashi, Chelek Beis, Hilchos Nida, Simon Aleph, Kalim Shanida Nogaspehen, the Kalim that Anida touches, Bismanazet to Horin Hain Eitzel Baila. So nowadays, there's no Tuma. And therefore, mutarin liga behen v'lishamish ben abal. So technically speaking, there's no impediment to using the kalim of anida nowadays because there's no tumah. Aval machmirin anu alatzmenu ve'en anu ochlin b'kara achas. Even though technically there's no such iser al tumah, but we have the chumrah of not eating kara achas, lo mishuim achala, v'liyoshvin amboshava, so the Sefer Ora groups all these archakos, Kara Achas, Shirei Machal, Yeshiva al Moshava, and Hoshata, all in the context of Lasa de Tuma. Sefer Ora. Even though in principle all these things are mutter because there's no Tuma Vatara nowadays, but nevertheless, there's a midag to be machmir in these harchakos because of that lasa dituma. And then he says, midag zeh yafa linahagom and they hergal aveira. And these are good things to have because of hergal aveira, so we have that element also. Aval iser tuma laka, so technically speaking, there's a tuma. But he frames it initially as having some kind of lasa de tuma, even though there's no real tuma, and also there's an element of hergal aveira. But lo yeshev moshava fits into that as well. And then the Sefer Ora criticizes the minhag of women not to go to shul, the nidusa that we referenced earlier, and he says, what are they accomplishing? If they hold that a base kinesis is kemikdash, then they shouldn't go to shul even after they go to the mikvah. Because mechusar kapara, that already went to the mikvah, the harav shimsho, until you bring karbanos, is bekaris. So then the woman should never go to shul until she brings a karban. And if it's not kemikdash, then what's the problem to begin with? And we're all Tamei and Nefesh and Sheretz anyway, and everybody goes to Shul even though they're Tamei Meis and Tamei Sheretz, so obviously it's not Kemikdash. So he doesn't really understand where this Minhag came from. But in terms of the original Minhag, or the Harchoko, so he does frame that partially in the context of Lasa de Tuma. And the Darkei Tshuva, Sivkatan Kukhes quotes from a Torah's Nisan al Torah, don't know what that is, Parshat Achremos. In the context of this din of Sasal Hamisnade that we'll get to based on the Chumash Hadeshen, he wonders why don't Poskim quote this from the Medrash. What is the Medrash? So there's a Tanchuma, the end of Parshas Mitzora. Tanchuma says, Ketuma Sanida Haisa Darkam, Lifne Lifanai, Ketuma Sanida below Ketuma Sames. We distinguish between Tumas Nida and Tumas Ames. Meis Babayis, Ein Kohen Gadol Nichnas Lasham Shehu Mitame. If there's Meis in the house, Kohen Gadol can't walk into the house. Aval Nida, Kohen Gadol Nichnas Simal Babayis. When it comes to Nida, there's no impediment to a Kohen Gadol walking into a house where there's a Nida. The Yoshev Al Iftaba, they could even sit on the same bench. Ubulvaz, Shalotehe, it's to about misnodedas. As long as the bench isn't shaking. So we'll get to that in a moment. And this is the muscle to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kachilu Kadosh Baruch Hu, him shall ask Israel, but Tumas Hameis, at the Omer, Enoshchina Chazara Salem Laola. Ella, Kenida Mashlan, Shakawin Omidima, Bebayez Vein Choshesh. So, Pliyazel and Gaul is a nimshal to Tumas Nida, not to Tumas Meis, to show that a Kadosh Baruch Hu can engage us even when we're in Gauls. So he quotes that this, maybe this Medr should be a source for Safla Abasnaneh, which we'll get to in a moment. So just going back, so we began with the Mordecai's version of the Ravan, that as an Isra sitting on the same chair that your wife is sitting on. We have the Ravan Lefenenu that sounds like it's usher to sit on her chair even if she's not sitting on it. And that maybe has some resonance of a Tumah B'Tahor Halacha. Now, how does this make it L'Halacha? To take a look at the Ramah back in Sifei. Usher Leishev Al Safsal Aruch Shemisna Nedes. You're not allowed to sit on a long bench that is moving, rickety, flimsy. Ve'ena mechuberes akosel, and it's not connected to the wall. Kishe ishto nida yoshevas alav, when your wife who's a nida sitting on it too. Ve'yesh matirim kishe adam acher masik ve'yoshev ve'nehem. Fine. Ve'chein lo yelechem ishto ba'gola achas, or besvina achas, em holech rak derech tiyol, Kigon the ganosa part they sim chayosibaza, Avalon Holoch merely ear, Litzrachav, Butter, Alpha Pishu, Ishto, Him, Lavadan, Uvachi, Yeshua, Bederech, Shiloh, Yigu, Ze, Baza. So the Mordechai, who quotes the Rabban, and the Rabban, the Fanenu, have no distinction between Misnadeid and Adam Misnadeid. The Mordechai just says you can't sit on the same Kisei Aruch, and the Rabban, Lefanenu, just says you can't sit on Kisei Hamayuchala, but no distinction between whether it's misnanendes or not. Where does that come from? So the Beis Yosef in the Bezek Abayis quotes from the Orach Haschayim, who says that you can't sit on a safsal she'eno kavua. That if your wife is sitting on a safsal she'eno kavua, you can't sit on the same bench because it's yachol lehisnadneid, because it could move. But where the Ramah is coming from is the Trumas Hadesha. Trumas Hadesha and Simon Reish Nun Aleph. What was the Shaila? Isha Nida Mahu Shetesha Vimbayla Al Ha'agola Lalecheth Meir Leir. Can a woman who's a Nida sit on the same carriage as her husband for an intercity trip? V'derech Shelo Zeh Shelo Yiga Baklal Kigon Hu Lefnim Lehilachor. In a way that there's no Chashash Negiya. So Negiah is off the table. Is it still an Isser sitting in the same carriage, even if we remove any Chashash Negiah? He's sitting in the front, she's sitting in the back. They're not going to touch. Says the Trumas Hadeshen, Yerad the Shari. Kemeduba li karv levada, shehitu li echan miagdolim. Va'afagav the cousin Mordechai, asir lei sheval safsal echaz yishtanidu yoshevas alav. Isn't this the same thing? He says, no. Near the Ein Ladamus Lo Razu, El Milsa de Damio Lo Lagarmish, Ein Basar Lachalik. But the Hilchas Nida Kasav Alado Razu Chumer Ba'almahi. So, Eilucha El Bobel Chidusha, which is a Chumer to begin with in the Mordechai, and don't extend it beyond its original context. So, what's the Chilak? Vim Kain, Nucha l'chalek. The davka yeshiva ala safsal biyachad near biderechiba. So if you're sitting on the same bench, so that's near a biderechiba. Derech oavim liskabet yachad ulisvay b'chiyagama. So if you're sitting on the same bench, that's a problem of derechiba, even if there's no kashash negiyah. Aval b'yeshiva ba'agola, but if you're traveling in a carriage, shederech b'nei adam nachrim liskabet kama pa'amim lavo yachad ulitzarev liskor agola bein kulam v'lechas ba'meir le'ir. But if you're traveling on a carriage, it's normal for people that don't know each other to rent a carriage together. So that's not fundamentally a situation of chiba. Even if in a particular case it happens to be that the husband and wife are the only people traveling on this agala, there's no one else there. But definitionally, traveling on a carriage is not something that engenders chiba because it's normally used as a practical form of transportation. V'kach shamati shechilek echem yagadolim dele'el v'yanoig lahatir leishev yachad al sasal kishehu mechubri b'kosei abayis k'mo shiragilim lasos b'itztavos b'esachor v'batei akayitz v'yaomer de'en lesor el kishah sasal talush. So he says, therefore, if you're going to sit on a bench that's mechubar lakosel, that's also okay. That also doesn't engender chiba, it sounds like. Omnam lalechas ba'gola in ishto nida derech tiyul. But to travel in a wagon with Ishto Nida Derech Tiyol to the gardens and the vineyards, that he's not sure about whether you should be Matir. So according to Truman Sedeshan, the Isser of Safsal Echad is a Chiba related halacha, not Negia. So even if you take Negia off the table, if you're in an environment where sitting on the same safsal is going to engender chiba, that's going to be usur. So that's the chiluk between misnaneh and not misnaneh for this Truma Sedeshen. If it's misnaneh, that engenders chiba. If not, then not. And that's the distinction between traveling for business or for pleasure. Traveling for business on Ogola doesn't engender chiba. Traveling for pleasure may engender chiba. So that's the basis of the distinction in the Ramah in Se'if Hey. Yeah.
So you can be both Narayim, and you speak for pleasure. It needs to be misnanim and for pleasure, and it would be usur?
It needs to, not necessarily. It could be, we'll talk about this, I don't think we'll get to it today, but we'll have to discuss, and this may be a machlokas later poskim, how whether that last line in the Truman Sedeshim stands alone. But we'll have to be down about that. Yes, I'm not going to finish Safsal Misnade today, so maybe we'll stop here. And so I want to try to get in three shiurim this week. Would you prefer Tuesday, Wednesday, or Wednesday, Thursday? My plan is to finish our chalkos next time, and then to start Akdama Tevestos and begin Simon Kuf Peites before Pesach.